is Truth Frequency Radio.
No hate, no hype, no fear. Real people, real radio.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Staunching Tyranny with Jim and Jeff Staunch.
Monday on Truth Frequency Radio.
At Truth Frequency Radio, we bring you the very best personalities in the independent media without the corporate influence and with limited commercial interruption. Over the past year, Truth Frequency Radio has become one of the fastest growing media outlets in the world, and we owe it all to you. That's why with every donation of $30 or more, we'll send you your very own Survive Drive as a way of saying thanks for your continued support. The Survive Drive is jam-packed with nearly 600 ebooks to help you survive everything from everyday life to major disasters. Donate today and we'll continue to wage war against the powers that shouldn't be. Again, thanks for your support and for making Truth Frequency Radio your choice for news without the hate, hype, and fear.
Did you know that the blue lotus flower was used by the ancient Egyptians as an aphrodisiac to experience feelings of euphoria and ecstasy? And ecstasy. And ecstasy. Did you know that Thai kratom was used by the Buddhist monks to produce a relaxing and dreamlike state? Did you know San Pedro cactus was used by the Native Americans to quest for visions and heal the body? Bouncing Bear Botanicals is your number one supplier of rare and sacred plants and a proud sponsor of Truth Frequency Radio. By clicking on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, you can learn more about a vast selection of entheogens, including Amanita muscaria, also known as the sacred mushroom. So click on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, and you'll also get up to $40 off your next order.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
The wicked ones, obviously under heavy Masonic influence.
Well, if the system was down, I wonder if it's weather, because we got some weather here.
Well, we might be live right now, ladies and gentlemen. So, let's see. It's saying we're on air. We've been dealing with some technical issues right now. So anyway, this is Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. Today is the 22nd day of January. We are live, potentially right now. The system has been up and down. But we're going to jump in assuming that it is the 11 o'clock central hour, which would normally be our guest segment right now. I'm really excited to bring Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton back onto the show. I know Melissa's not feeling super well, but hopefully she'll be feeling better before the end of the broadcast. So first and foremost, Aaron, let me thank you for coming back onto the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast today.
Hey, thanks for having us. Yeah, Mel's great, but she punched her excuse card this morning.
It happens, man. I was just about to do the same.
She's been really busy lately, and she's kind of stressed out and not sleeping well. So hope everybody understands, but we're here, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, we're all
appreciate
here.
Appreciate you being.
Oh, man. Appreciate you guys being willing to come back onto the show. We know we kind of bombard you guys with a lot, but you guys have such great information. For people out there who don't know, Aaron and Mel are the owners and runners of TruthStream Media. You can go to truthstreammedia.com, one of the most outstanding websites on the internet, as far as I'm concerned. And both of these guys are researchers and writers and investigative journalists. But Aaron, can add video production into that list of skills. And then Mel complements that with her graphic artist skills. So I imagine between all of that, that's why Truth Frequency or True Stream Media looks so nice. You guys also do a show on TFR as well. Is that still Saturday nights, Aaron?
Oh boy. Yeah, no, it's now Friday night.
Friday nights. So yeah,
Friday 4 to 6, you know. Oh, right. When everybody's hanging around.
Right. Well, we've done some scheduling changes, I know, has been going on. But I gotta ask though, Aaron, I saw an update on Facebook the other day that led me to believe that perhaps congratulations are in order.
Oh, you heard about that?
I did. Is that something we can talk about on the air?
Hey, it's true, yeah.
That's awesome.
I finally made it official and asked Mel, and now we're engaged.
Oh man, that's congratulations. That's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic news. I think you guys are a heck of a team, and I'm excited about what might happen in the future with you guys. So that's really cool.
We're excited too, and we've had some interesting days here. So
yeah. Well, okay. So the reason we brought you guys back on the air today is because every time you guys come on, we seem to start to broach the subject of this crazy election that I think is going to be coming down towards us here, projected in my own mind. I can imagine them spending about $1 billion between the Clinton and the Bush, you know, this big show that's coming down. So I wanted to talk about the Clintons today, specifically because I want to get out in front of this Hillary thing while we still have an opportunity to do it, remind some people a little bit about the history of the Clintons and things like that. So since we're going to talk about the Clintons, I kind of thought we should maybe pick the more evil of the two to start with, the one that's left behind a trail of corruption and extortion and dead bodies, as well as some pretty serious rumors of sexual misconduct, even borderlining on pedophilia. And then I think if there's time, Aaron, we can come back and talk about Bill.
I see what you did there. Yeah, that's...
You like that? I was working on that all morning, man. All morning I was working on that.
So anyway. It's a sick world, you know, and... There's a lot of people in this world I love, regular people in society, friends I've grown up with, and it is so frustrating to hear people who like Democrats, who don't like Democrats, who want to argue and make excuses for these people just because they're celebrities in the political circle. And I don't get it, because obviously they must have never paid attention to anything.
Right.
All these people make my skin crawl, make me sick, and... where are we supposed to go with that? Don't they even watch George Carlin HBO specials or anything? I mean, why are we the only ones clued in on this? We all seem to know it pretty well. And, you know, you could correct me on some of the details. And I could try to recall the stories. And we could cite different sources and dance around the things that we don't quite have proof of. But it's enough to really just want to punch out of the whole system, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
You know, just in the headlines today, I guess Prince Andrew's back. I guess they've had a couple weeks with the Paris attacks to keep it out of the news and think about it. And now he's going to lead the delegation at Davos. I've always liked Julius Caesar from Shakespeare. It kind of reminds me of the great speech after he's killed and promises are made. I'm sure it'll start out something like, who among us here hasn't? No, you don't think so. He's apparently going to address the elite super billionaire and multimillionaire crowd at Davos and explain to the world how he has nothing to do with these people and it's all just been misconstrued against him. What about the fact that these people with such great wealth and power have terrible judge of power, a judge of character, and hang out with apparently some of the worst people in the world? But we're just supposed to, oh, I'm sure it's just a misunderstanding. Everyone takes pictures with little girls and, you know.
There's no reason that Epstein shouldn't have had 21 private phone numbers for Bill Clinton. That's just how business is done these days,
that's
Aaron.
Just, yeah, it's business. You know, it was probably fundraising. And
right.
He didn't know. That's not the side of Jeffrey Epstein that he knew. Mm. My God.
Right. Well, and then you see the report that came out today about the file that was supposedly put into the hands of Margaret Thatcher back in 1981, saying that, you know, hey, there might be some sexual promiscuity of the, you know, pedophilia type nature going on. And apparently that was in the hands of Margaret Thatcher back in 81 and that nothing happened as a result of it.
they're always covering up for these people. And I saw headlines about various members of the UK system caught up in pedophilia scandals in the last year or two. And I didn't really even follow the details, but there's pretty clearly a systematic issue.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. You got to say where there's smoke, there's fire. And when you see this much smoke, you know.
I mean, I don't know that we're ever going to know everything going on, even just with the Epstein case. I mean, there's powerful people that are going to be covering up. But I think what's apparent, the allegations are that his assistants, the names escape me, but they're all in the papers. The woman who's the media mogul and the other woman they made allegations against, who were his aides and assistants and his collaborators in this, were allegedly filming this event, these events. So whenever they get together and they have a great time and all the important people are around, laughs and giggles, but things end up on tape. Well, we all know that means blackmail, okay?
Right.
That's probably the whole reason why a 17-year-old girl and not an 18-year-old girl, et cetera, even though it's all pretty gross and outside of any kind of normal relationships, real creepy to have people in their 50s and 40s and 60s, you know, going just to hang out like that. But what they're looking to do is have dirt on people. And I don't think you probably give a nasty blackmail speech to a prince or a former president, but I think it's understood that you've got a business partner. You know, how did he get his billions? Well, he either stole it on Wall Street or he did some other shady business or all of the above.
Right.
That's what the allegations look like. I don't know everything that's going on. But it's reminiscent of the stuff that happened decades back, out near San Francisco with that, satanic guy. That's a creepy case. There was film rolled there. Of course, he beat all the allegations. He wasn't involved, but he had a high level position in the military. You know, that back then, I'm talking about the case where more than 50 children went to the police and they ignored it and covered it up for years. And finally some allegations were made and, what, a few low-level people get arrested? Come on. The system's not going to arrest itself.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, it's scary once you really start digging into the people's backgrounds here, because the propensity towards Satanism and kidnapping and just, I mean, we're talking downright evil, evil stuff. It seems to be way more prevalent than we're being told or that anybody would really even want to consider, you know?
I think that is the very unfortunate path to power. I think people who have unlimited ambitions are willing to compromise on anything. And I think at first, this is my conjecture, I think at first a lot of powerful senators and up-and-comers probably aren't that perverted and disgusting at first, probably just a little bit. But they get coerced into doing that stuff, then it's on tape, then you're part of the club, then you do it again. Then you initiate someone else. Isn't that how gangs and hazing works? It's a gang.
Yeah, that's how the cycle continues.
It's one of the darkest and most evil gangs as far as what I could. I don't know what would be worse than all that. They kill people too, so.
Right.
I'm not sure. Well, I guess there's degrees and shades of worse than that, but I think this really touches upon some of the worst stuff. We did a road trip last summer. We went through Arkansas and decide to stop off in Hope, you know, birthplace of Clinton, and where's that guy even really from?
Right.
And it's a great contrast, because if you drive downtown, there's murals and happy patriotic thing, and Clinton's both loved and hated. Definitely not everyone loves Clinton. I'm sure that wasn't true of everyone in Hope. But at the same time, there's that whole charming, corny overlay of like, this is where a president was born. And
right.
God bless America. Well, we had to look quite a bit on Google, really, and put together a bunch of different pages. But we finally found the gravesite that is there in Hope on the outskirts of Vince Foster. And we went and visited his grave, too, just to get some footage of someone who they would like to sweep under the carpet. I guess the vast right-wing conspiracy won't quite let that one die, and rightfully so. But Vince Foster was one of the top aides to the Clintons at the time when Bill Clinton first entered office. He worked at the Rose Law Firm with Hillary, where she did a lot of her nasty corporate work leading up into the Bill Clinton years. He was a three-term governor, and Hillary was a Rose Firm lawyer throughout most of that time, if not all that time. And she was simultaneously a board member of Walmart, probably the biggest corporation in this country, or among them, the biggest employer, the biggest retailer, and a lot of, I forget who all they worked with, but some pretty high-powered stuff. They brought Vince Foster, who was a top lawyer at Rose, into Washington, and he suddenly got so stressed out that he pretty much died of arriving in Washington, but of suicide.
Really?
Yeah, well, he also had a lot of insider information on any number of scandals coming out, Whitewater stuff, alleged mispropriety with law firms, things that reach back to the Clintons personally.
Hmm.
You know, he's just one of those people who knew a little too much.
Somebody in the chat room is suggesting that he was shot, quote unquote, on the wrong side, saying that he was either right-handed and shot in the, you know, the left side of his head or vice versa. Is that accurate?
Isn't that always the way? And police just seem to have no curiosity, do they?
Well,
it's a sad joke, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what to say because there's no justice in this country.
Oh.
Especially not at those levels.
So
I don't understand why we don't punch out of this whole system.
Well, I know that you guys over at your website are putting together stories kind of along those lines. I've been I watch your website really closely, and a lot of the stuff you guys are doing is kind of that getting back to basics, how to grow food. So I'm with you, man. I'm ready to punch out of the system, especially, you know, I read the news 10 hours a day, and I haven't read anything this year that makes me really excited about living in this country anymore. So, but I mean, how do you punch out? What do you really, what does that mean? How do we do it? You know,
I wish I knew.
Yeah.
I have been trying to focus on home growing stuff and, we've been thinking about the food question for a while.
Right.
My health's better than it has been. It's still not perfect. I don't eat perfect, but I used to be really overweight. Figured out a lot of it, vitamins and nutrition and what eating right really meant. Now I juice vegetables every day and drink a big juice smoothie and, really been trying to do a lot of things, especially growing my own vegetables in the backyard, but I just figure it's one of the few things we have personal power over and that we can make a difference.
Right.
The food industry is mixed with the same brand of corruption and, lack of informing the public and deceptions as any other part of our society. Mm-hmm. And at least it's something we can kind of do something about.
Yeah.
Reading grocery store labels, you know, that's probably where I started a lot of my efforts. And, you know, I started gradually looking up those little scientific multisyllable terms right. that I wasn't familiar with that I found, you know, I recognized I was subconsciously just kind of glazing over them like, yes, it's got these three main ingredients and then all this other stuff. Okay. All right. I'll put this in the cart.
Right.
But gradually I whittled them down and looked probably every one of them up and really kind of dug into whether or not there's a controversy. And most of them are not fit to eat, in my opinion. At least I have chosen to eat as little of them as I can.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm on the road or something, compromises get made, but I try not to because when you look that stuff up, you realize the mixture of greed, which some people love to attribute the system to just corporate greed, that only gets you so far. But the mixture of greed and evil and especially of the industrial complex cycling and churning of things means somebody's pretty much literally dumping industrial waste, chemical hazards into the food supply, into our water, as we know with the fluoride issue. Mm-hmm. And we're human filters for their garbage and BS. At every level, both literal and mental and psychologically and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why we have to be a population that's a dumping ground. It's like we're sheep, but we're also reverse sheep that are being dumped into
right.
to suck up like a sponge or something.
Yeah, it's difficult to understand right now other than I kind of look back at the, you know, 200 years of Manifest Destiny and all of those, you know, I don't want to say conspiratorial, but those were obviously like fake agendas to get, the system to work the way it has for the last couple hundred years. And I kind of just wonder if we've been bred, you know, to fail, if it's just been a whole big, you know, built to spill kind of effect that we're seeing here.
That's a good question.
Well, because you wonder, people are born, they say, oh, you're so lucky because you were born an American, and they really pumped that into your head for so long growing up. And you kind of have to start wondering after a while, especially once you start getting to be our age and you start paying attention to just what being an American actually means. And you start wondering, am I really the lucky one here? You know, or is this, am I targeted to think that I'm lucky? But at the same time, it feels like, like you said, we get dumped on more than anybody, in terms of a country as a whole. Than anybody. There was just a report yesterday, and I didn't even get to it, from Natural News, I think, talking about over 600 different behavior modification aerosols that have been developed and unwittingly been tested on the American population for the last couple of years. We were talking about behavioral modification aerosols. And then just,
it's absolutely creepy.
I know, it's crazy. And then people are, oh, there's no chemtrails. You guys are all crazy. They would never do that. And it's just like, yeah, they would. They really, really would.
Oh, we saw a clip from local weather somewhere yesterday with the weatherman explaining, that's ice crystals. It's very cold up there. There's 40,000 flights a day.
I don't know. I kind of started to wonder, though. I look at the chemtrails issue, and I know we're way off track from the Clinton thing, but I don't really care. I started to look at the chemtrails thing as you look at the spectrum of the truth. What is the, what's the one side of it is that it's, big tankers full of poisons and they're actually using spray nozzles to spray stuff in the air, or the other side, which is that it's total malarkey. And then I kind of looked in the middle and I thought, well, what would be a middle of the road type explanation? And for me, it would be, that they're putting crap in the fuel to make fuel economy more efficient in airplanes, and they don't care about what the effects of that are. So I started to kind of look and see if there were biofuel companies out there that are making additives that they're adding to the fuel. And it turns out that there are quite a few of those. So I'm still on the board as to whether or not it's targeted or whether or not it's a cost saving venture like putting fluoride in the water that just happens to have the ancillary effect of global mind control and stuff like that. But wouldn't putting it in the fuel make the most sense if you were trying? I mean, that to me would be the perfect distribution method. You wouldn't have to have tanks.
Well, and they do have patents for adding it to the fuel.
Right.
I don't know if it's an improvement. I know some flights have been looking to switch to liquid natural gas, but that's a side issue. Yeah, it certainly appears to be targeted from everything we know. And meanwhile, the geoengineering agenda is moving forward. They've had a number of high-level meetings in the UK and the US. The biggest one was the American Geological Union.
Okay.
That's what it's called, in San Francisco in December. And they had 24,000 scientists there meeting on a range of topics, but they presented something like 28 papers on geoengineering in terms of bringing it out of the laboratory and into the open. And the Royal Society of Science, who were both conspiratorial and scientific, going back to the time of Francis Bacon, they put out a whole special issue in December on geoengineering. Hmm. They had a big meeting in Glasgow in the UK with the European scientists in September. They had another meeting in Phoenix in January. And they've got upcoming meetings in various places on the West Coast and the UK. So those geoengineering scientists, which, based on what we know, I'm pretty sure is connected with this chemtrail agenda, have been working like crazy. And the catch to that is they claim they've been just working with climate models and in the laboratory, quote unquote. But if you go back to the 2009 Royal Society report, which it's both a scientific society and a secret society, as I alluded to. In their report in 2009, they acknowledged a number of things, that they would like to see a global governance for the geoengineering, that there are no current regulations that would keep a rogue geoengineer from doing things. That's evidenced in part by the fact that a rogue geoengineer dumped a bunch of iron in the Pacific Ocean, supposedly to create these algae blooms. And also that experimentation has been going on, and that field trials couldn't really be done effectively on a limited scale. So experimentation's going on, but it doesn't happen in a laboratory. There's no laboratory building, obviously, to test the widespread use of aerosols.
Okay, we
are the laboratory. Yeah. It's been going on. How much has it been going on? Well, they're making it sound like it's limited. I don't know what limited means. I think we've got a limited capacity to understand secret government's really up to.
I agree with
that. And who the scientists really work for, by the way. I don't think all scientists are evil, quite obviously. A lot of regular people, intelligent people. But I know where that funding comes from. you know. And when the funding comes from a Rockefeller Foundation, a Gates Foundation, when it's steered through think tanks like the Council on Foreign Relations, the agenda is steered for to be seized, to be harnessed, to be a crop yield for the elite power agenda. And that very much happened with the genetic and nuclear agenda back in the earlier parts of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm. I think a specific Rockefeller instrumental in introducing Maurice Strong to the UN and trying to get this whole globe and carbon initiative underway?
Oh, well, Maurice Strong was a Rockefeller Foundation trustee for decades. I forget the exact year he joined on, but he's been a Rockefeller family top guy for a number of years.
Right.
And then he leads the Agenda 21 meeting for the conservation of the earth and all these new rules. And a lot of it, some of it, good ideas for protecting the environment, you know, in name, nominally.
Right.
Some of it, even in policy, may be appropriate, but the large scale of it for capturing the entire population on the basis that we're the problem, when he represents the very corporate overlords who are making the most polluted industries on the earth. Mm-hmm. And Maurice Strong has personally been involved in, he's on the appropriate boards and so forth, who've been buying up water rights throughout the Southwest, especially in Colorado and places, and taking private property water rights away and pretty much amalgamating them under a corporate threshold.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure that's been going on in Latin America and South America as well. And I got a hold of some behind the scenes Agenda 21 footage not that long ago. Actually, they had some stuff from the Earth Summit back in 1971 as well. And it was kind of a counter meeting, which it also involved some of the corporate people. But basically, they accused the corporations of having a vast greenwashing with that meeting and of overlooking the actual environmental needs, the stuff of, you know, existing local tribes and stuff in South America and so forth.
Right.
It's a cut and paste. It's a Band-Aid job for the industries that have been down there looting and pillaging for as long as anyone can remember.
Mm-hmm.
There's a world run by pirates.
Absolutely there is. Yeah, absolutely. And that's what's so frightening about the Maurice Strong connection, is because they are being paid by these elite overlords that have written countless white papers and opinion papers, if not their own, you know, autobiographies, saying how they would like to eliminate all of us. You know, so it's like when those people are funding these global projects, you really have to wonder what the motivation is, you know, or you don't have to wonder, I guess, if you can read between the lines. But
oh, I haven't read the War is a Racket stuff in a little bit. Are you familiar with Smedley Butler and what he had said?
I've heard the name, but I don't know if I'm familiar with what you're talking about.
It's a pretty good book. It's only about 40 pages. It's kind of a mini, it's almost like a magazine or something. He published it, I guess, in 1935. I read it a number of years ago, so I can't quote it super accurately. But in essence, he talked about his disgust, you know, living when he did in the height of the 30s through the Depression and through the various wars. He was involved in trying to secure the pensions for the military veterans and stuff after World War One.
Right. I remember that.
And he was leading a number of protests. I don't know if he kind of had like a left-leaning side to him or not, but he was very, you know, union of the working man, military veterans. We're going to march on Washington. And that was a direct threat to the rather fascist-ended corporations who were very much at power at the time, as they are now. Mm-hmm. And they pretty much found ways to limit him. But he was a top – I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought him up if I didn't have all the facts in front of me.
Oh, that's okay.
He was in the Marines, and he pretty much said directly in War is a Racket that his time in Latin America and the tropical areas – south of the border were to act as, you know, pretty much an enforcer for a gang that was down there looting. And I believe he was referring to the banana companies of the day, United Fruit Company and so forth. And pretty much how he was a taxpayer funded thug, to help bust open the country for the raiding of these corporations. And that's what's going on. That's what the CIA later became as well, in the after World War II years.
Right.
It's pretty much a secretive, all-powerful unit to help enforce the territories being raided by these corporations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just the main motivation for just about anything these days is money and power, you know, and these people, they have so much money at this point that all they're after now is power. I wonder what's going to happen with Cuba now that Cuba is opened up, if we're going to see, crazy, you know, developments of businesses and things like that, or if they're going to get marginalized like they've been, you know, it's been attempted to do.
Okay, here's a couple Smedley Butler quotes now I got them pulled up. I quote, I help purify Nicaragua for the international banking house of...
Hey, Big Mouth. Yeah, you. Listen. I want you to put the word out on the street. Tell your co-workers, your family, your paisanos, that my good friend, Joe Joseph, is doing a good thing here. He's sticking his neck out for me, for Sil, and for all the people in the world. Isn't that right, Sil?
He's part of the family now, Deke.
That's what I thought. So tune in to him right here on Freedom Link, Monday to Friday, exclusively on the Truth Frequency Radio. Yeah, they're watching you. Big deal. They're watching me, too. They're watching everybody. So grow some cojones and give them something to watch and listen to. Make them earn it. Give them paperwork until they choke. That's right. I know you won't let me down. So you're going to put the word out about my good friend, Joe Joseph, right? Good. Now do me a favor and get out of here.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money, has a storage life of 100 years, all for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine Now. Only at hempusa.org.
We all know the importance of having storable foods. But what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy three or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same-day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Free FM with Nathan Frazier.
Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Good job on Aaron catching that bumper music when he did. I have no idea what's going on in the clock right now because the vault is off air. So potentially we're still live and going out over the air right now. I hope we are. Aaron, we were just about ready to talk a little bit more about Smedley Butler, I think, before the break.
Luckily time is relative and our perception of reality is pretty skewed anyway to begin with. So we're on a strange ride, I guess.
Roger that.
Smedley Butler was in the Marine Corps. Back in the day, he published a book called War is a Racket. Let that sink in. 1935, he led some major veterans protests because they didn't get their war bonus and they got shafted financially. And he pretty much called out the domination of Wall Street, the very fascist system that was using the military he served career long to be its enforcers, its thugs in the corporate dominated world. And tell me we're not there now. Okay. It's a short little book. It's 40 pages or so. I think it's a good one to pick up and go through. Here's a couple quotes just off Brady quote, because I haven't read the actual book in some time, so I don't have the quotes pulled up in the actual source. But he said, the flag follows the dollar, and the soldiers follow the flag. That one's kind of important. He says, war is just a racket. A racket is best described, I believe, as something that is not what it seems to the majority of people. Only a small inside group knows what it's about. It's conducted for the benefit of the very few at the expenses of... And then in the details, he says, I helped purify Nicaragua for the International Banking House of Brown Brothers Harriman in 1909-1912. I brought light to the Dominican Republic for the American sugar interest in 1916. In China, I helped to see to it that Standard Oil went its way unmolested. And so on and so forth. He names other countries.
Right.
And he just absolutely called it out that he was out there fighting, you know, a potentially mortal conflict, killing people, using force, guns, weapons. And the American taxpayer military, which we've been conditioned to believe is patriotic and for the good of our country and the good of freedom. And here he is saying point blank, it's for these corporate dominated interests on Wall Street.
Back in 1935, there's a reason that that word robber barons comes up when you start reading back in history, that those are the guys who are responsible and still are responsible for everything that we're screwed up with today.
Oh yeah, that's a pet topic of mine too, because the robber barons were so hated and they had just absolutely monopolized the whole industry. And not through good business practice or having a better product. No, they knocked heads. They busted people. They used force. Mm-hmm. They killed people. They had private armies.
Wasn't that
standing down unions? Sorry.
Wasn't that the reason that that municipal police were essentially invented? I know we're going back more than 100 years, probably before Smedley, but same type of reason. Robber barons wanted to protect their corporate infrastructure and their corporate interests.
Well, yeah, that probably makes sense. I'm not sure though.
Hmm. That's what I've read. But I was hoping you might know. But anyway.
Yeah, well, they did all that, and they would go to competitors and use all kinds of ruthless tactics. I'm sure very much Godfather offers you can't refuse. And completely bought up the industry for a monopoly. And behind the scenes, I'm sure it was a Rothschild type of family backing, you know, the Harrimans, backing the Rothschilds, certainly backing J.P. Morgan, the Carnegie. If they weren't directly backing them, they were all part of a friendly crowd, you know, a club, and we're not in it, right? And what they figured out with the rise of public relations was that they knew they were hated, and there was also a move to have antitrust, to bust up corporations that were too big.
Okay.
Right? They shouldn't be that big. So they were going to split them up into entities. They did that with AT&T. Broke it up into, you know, Pacific Bell and Southern Bell and Georgia Bell and all those. And they did it with Standard Oil and broke it up into, I don't know, I think 30 or 40 different entities. And it was argued that they actually got stronger after being busted up because they were so good at working the offshore tax loopholes.
Ah.
And at the same time, with 1913, there's the introduction of the income tax as well as the Federal Reserve. And the same robber baron names who we've talked about and others were involved in the Federal Reserve. They were at the secret meeting in Jekyll Island. They were the secret shareholders of it. They knew how to work that system as well. They were the secret benefactors of it. It was a Rockefeller man who got it passed in the Senate secretly and so forth and so on. And so in 1913, the Rockefellers followed what Carnegie had done a couple years earlier and started a foundation to work with the new rules that essentially they figured out they could put their money in an offshore tax thing. It would never be touched. And because it's doing philanthropic work, you know, it's going to remain tax free.
All that humanitarian effort. You got to love that though.
But it was never a charity. Yeah, they did some things that sounded nice and looked good on paper. They attempted to address racism in the South, particularly with education. But what they really have been doing all this time for over a century now is social engineering and giving themselves a justified pretext to enter into public policy.
Yeah.
From a private NGO, and they have influenced every level of public policy and put their people in there, mm-hmm. got them into cabinet positions and appointed positions and all this stuff, and got their white papers presented in the right circles and adopted. And it's just been a huge swindle. It's definitely been a racket. It's a racket.
Yeah.
And it's at the point that today Bill Clinton and the Clinton Foundation will show up. They look like they're doing good. People will applaud. They will cry. They will scream. They will shimmy and shake in that crowd mentality and
hand
hope
them
they
their
can,
babies.
Yeah, hand the babies and hope they can shake hands or get a hug. And it's the same thing with Bill Gates. Melissa went to the Bill Gates event and she said people were literally crying and literally saying in the crowd that they, you know, had never seen a better person and other statements like this and were absolutely appalled that she had asked a challenging question.
Right.
In that case about eugenics. These people are worshipped and the public is gullible enough to think that they're doing charitable work and and giving their money away with no strings attached. Because I guess no one has ever caught on to any of the archetypes or metaphors or lessons, Aesop's fables, if you will, that are repeatedly told in the movies. No one has figured this out. I see it all the time. Every movie I watch has some kind of hidden message about the way things work right. with the hidden evil figures.
Right.
It's disgusting. It's just totally disgusting. And now that we're back in the political cycle, it's all over again. You know, 6 months or a year, I forget, we did a video talking about how Rand Paul is controlled opposition, because I'm convinced of that. He's made way too many deals to be friendly in the GOP. If it didn't start somewhere else, it started with endorsing Mitt Romney. He's involved in pushing for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is a big corporatist deal. It pushes GMO. Sure, there's libertarianism. There's a sense of freedom, maybe a better approach to a war, but he's really been towing the line. He's been friendly with Israel, and he's given indications that he will still be pursuing some of these wars, but he's just going to do it in a more enlightened way.
Yeah.
Okay? Not his father, okay? But got to office on the back of his father, mm-hmm. and his father's campaign machine put him into office and appealed to the Ron Paul supporters and asked for their help. And now he's working behind the scenes, taking photos with the youngest Bush to now enter office, which is George P. Bush, the Hispanic Bush, who's now land commissioner in Texas, a position that's very important for land rights, okay?
Probably obviously water rights as well, too, huh?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and that's a big issue, too.
Yeah.
Let me finish with saving. I'll come back to that in a second.
Okay.
So the growing Hispanic population, particularly in the Southwest, all across the country, has now become a very important voting bloc, and it's just bowing down and kissing feet on that. Not only are we having the amnesty going on, but there's just an out-and-out appeal to make a point of voting for Hispanic. You know, who cares? It's skin color, okay? Yeah, there's different flares of culture and different strains of things. We need to do what's best for this country and have policies that allow innovation in a middle class and for us to keep something that we have. Right now, it's all being absorbed. Obamacare is making it so much worse. Everything that's happened with Wall Street and the financial outs has just absolutely looted and pillaged us, and I don't see hardly anyone addressing that.
No, and it seems like it's just going to get worse now. They just passed all this legislation. They're basically, you know, giving the green light for bail-ins again. The oil slide is going to massively, massively affect people's hedge funds and their investments, 401ks, things like that. Nobody is really addressing those issues yet. But yeah, well, I think we're on a path for where are we going and why are we in this handbasket is the question.
Here's the path I've seen. I forget how long you've been following all this, JD, but in 2005, 2006, 2007, the North American Union became a really big political issue.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Lou Dobbs was talking about it on CNN. That was the most in your face. People were at least hearing about it. And the mainstream media and the political figures that be, they were spinning, oh, that's a myth. It doesn't exist. That's for kooks. That's for right-wing conspiracy theorists. But there was, in fact, a Council on Foreign Relations report creating a North American building a North American community. It's the same general plan as how they created the European Union gradually over a 50-year period in the case of the European Union. They do want a unified currency, and there's been secret meetings starting with the legislation that George W. Bush signed. I guess it's not legislation, is it? The agreement between the three countries, Canada, Mexico, yep. and the U.S., And they're integrating everything, especially at the corporate level.
I was just going to say that. I was like, if you want the clue, look at the corporate level. Exactly.
And this didn't go away, but it completely fell off the eyes and ears of everyone. Mm-hmm. First of all, everyone who is mad about the North American Union has now been distracted about Obama and the things he's been doing and the other issues, rightfully so. The financial crisis and everything took over the news cycle. But the same firms who built up the North American Union, the Council on Foreign Relations, particularly Goldman Sachs and KKR, who are the biggest corporate looters, they do leveraged capital buyouts, and they pretty much own a large percentage of the real estate and companies that operate under different trade names in this country.
I just want to interrupt real quick to remind everybody that Ted Cruz's wife, Heidi, works for Goldman Sachs.
So this is exactly where I'm going. So Ted Cruz is now this great Tea Party figure. He wants liberty so bad. He met his wife, Heidi, in the George W. Bush for President campaign in 2000. Involved in arguing the Supreme Court case about the Chads and everything that got Bush appointed by the Supreme Court to president. Remember, Bush wasn't elected exactly.
Correct.
It was a Supreme Court decision. Mm-hmm. And Ted Cruz was one of the key people who got that done. Uh-huh. And his wife, Heidi Cruz, who we met on the campaign trail, works for Goldman Sachs. And she also is an author on the CFR's Building a North American Community document. And furthermore, at Goldman Sachs, she specialized in Latin American acquisitions.
She's
involved in making corporate deals south of the border and integrating them with Texas. Bringing it up to speed, Jeb Bush, coincidentally or fortuitously, married a Mexican woman named Columba, you know, all those years ago and had children with her. Was it a scandal to their blue blood family? I don't know. Now he's probably running for president, and his son, Jeb P. Hispanic Bush, has just gotten into office as land commissioner, and he is in a position for eminent domain on the very contentious NAFTA Superhighway Corridor Trans-Texas Toll Road. Mm-hmm. That's been a big issue. Land will go to that, and he's in a position to approve land acquisition for water rights, as you mentioned, and for fracking. Which is Texas's biggest business. In fact, it's the U.S. economy's biggest recovery since the 2008 collapse business.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I'm totally freaked out by fracking personally. I mean, yeah, I'm glad if the economy's rebounding, but not at the expense of our water quality.
Yeah, no, there's no justification for what I've seen in documentaries that is a result of fracking on people's property. There's just no way that the benefits outweigh the costs.
There's just a report, too, we posted on True Stream Media last night from Zero Hedge about Kansas officials admitting the strong correlation between fracking and earthquakes. There's been all kinds of minor earthquakes and Kansas and Oklahoma and places that don't even typically have them. And the fracking it's going on everywhere, but especially everywhere in Texas. And George P. Bush, not surprisingly, with his family's ties to oil, has been all over the fracking issue. He tweets about it. So I know.
Well, let's tie this back to the Clintons if we can. How do they fit into this club that we're all not a part of?
Well, they consider them their in-laws from another mother.
Who's that? The Bushes? The Bushes do?
Yeah. Bill Clinton ostensibly runs against George Bush, but years later we find out that he considers him the father he never had. And you might have seen the clip a few months ago, or maybe a month ago. George W. Bush again reiterated that Clinton's basically his brother. They consider him one of his brothers. And one would be interesting to have one brother run against another brother's wife, because Hillary, he said, is his in-law.
Think of the statistical odds of that, of tapping those particular two people out of the, 300 plus million people in our country. It just so happens that those two are the most qualified and they happen to be, you know, such close friends. It's just a little.
And how can we not all get upset and scream and cry that the craps table's rigged? It was probably never a good idea that we gave so much power to the craps table to begin with. We shouldn't have gambled, but we impulsively did it. We couldn't resist. And now we're standing at the table next to, you know, entities that in the metaphor represent Bush and Clinton all over again. And they keep winning and they keep winning against all odds. Give me a break. This fracking stuff is important, of course, because the whole world economy is hinging on the falling price of oil. It's an economic weapon against Russia. It's said to be busting up OPEC. And there's Bush again, you know. By the way, 2 or 3 months after the Council on Foreign Relations report, reiterating a North American community and hinging it on fracking and the Keystone Pipeline. I made a big stink about that back in October.
Right.
And about a month later, the oil prices crashed and they say it's because of all the fracking. All right. Ace in the hole for America. If you want to bring down the Russian economy and try to thwart their move for gold and their building up of the BRICS nations and their whole attempt to build a counter valve to the American hegemony that's been going on, right? Because back in the day, the whole American petrodollar is based around Bilderberg, Rockefeller threats to all the other countries that they better adopt the dollar or they're not going to be able to get oil at any price and therefore not going to be able to pursue development of their countries. And the oil was pegged to OPEC and particularly Saudi Arabia, who recycle their petrodollars on Wall Street. There's a completely incestuous and mutually supportive relationship between Saudi Arabia and Wall Street, and yet it gets reported that this is being a weapon against Saudi Arabia and the OPEC countries, that this lowering of the oil is America's ace in the hole in the Middle East and the oil crisis. No, I don't think that's true. I'm pretty sure that's wrong. It's a weapon against Russia, and there's a wink and a nod from Saudi Arabia that they're going to endure and not cut off supply even with the falling prices. Really?
That's what they said yesterday. And then, and you know, I was pretty convinced initially that what you're saying was correct, that OPEC was targeting Russia and targeting Venezuela and kind of as an ancillary effect targeting Iran. But there was a report last week where one of the Saudi princes came out and he said, you know, the main reason that we were doing this, was because there's too much freaking competition. And he cited very specifically in this article, shale. And so I kind of believe that Saudi Arabia, I mean, a lot of people might not know, but they've got artesian wells. It actually costs them money to stop production because it's more difficult to stop oil that wants to flow out of the ground than it is to just capture it and put it in a barrel and, you know, stick it someplace. Uh-huh. Iraq's got the same problem. Like that's why Iraq is producing 4 million barrels now a year is because they can't stop it, you know? And so, I feel like the OPEC thing was really allowed to go because they saw the shale industry as a major threat, and so that they've came out yesterday said they can survive 8 years if not longer at these low prices. Iran said they could survive at $25. So I don't know. I feel like the targeting of the shale could have been their number one thing at this point. Like we're seeing some major infighting within OPEC to the point. You know, with Jordan now, they've got deals directly with China. So we could see OPEC starting to fall apart, losing power. Maybe this was like a last ditch effort to, knock some wind out of the United States so they could regain some power.
I'll let that question remain open. I don't have all the answers to it, but I do know that the Bush family personally also considers members of the Saudi Arabian royalty to be their brothers from another mother.
Yes.
I mean, they've got some very, very close relationships. And maybe those fall off when it becomes convenient, but you know, the top ambassador for the Saudi family is Bandar Bush, who's nicknamed Bush, right, because of how close he is to that family. And, because of the long relationship of the petrodollar, I really wonder who's holding the cards. Maybe they've got a deal cut for Saudi Arabia at the expense of the other OPEC countries, because certainly there are many countries they'd like to target, but I don't think, Saudi Arabia is really one of them. I think they're as close an ally as Israel has been and very much part of their remapping of the Middle East plan. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other hand, cutting off China, who's been maneuvering in the Middle East and Africa, and Russia, who's maneuvering, from their geographical sphere down through East Europe and through the Caucasus into Middle East. Well, I think they would be trying to cut them off.
Yeah, that makes sense too. I don't know.
You know, let's see where it goes, but that's what I'm looking at for right now.
Right. Either way, there's a big club and you and I are not in it, unfortunately.
Well, that's the other thing. So if fracking, pretty much gives finally the energy independence Americans have wanted the U.S. to have for years at the expense of what, you know, this is we all need water to survive. I don't have a magic water source. No tabletop or under the faucet counter can filter out everything. I mean, I've got finally reverse osmosis and puts the good minerals back in and all that. It's pretty great water. I mean, it's as good as I can reasonably do, but this stuff coming out of the tap is pretty much toxic soup and fluoride's just just the top of the iceberg.
The stuff that is coming out of the tap in Texas is flammable. I mean, that's not something that you're going to filter out. That's a whole different liquid than water. You know what I mean? That's not water at that point if it's flammable.
And by the way, you know, Texas is doing about half of the fracking in the country. They got caught circa 2008 covering up the radioactive levels of uranium and radium that were in the tap water. And the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality got caught fudging the numbers in their own report to downplay, to keep from meeting the thresholds that would require action and penalties and stuff like that. And they say it's because of naturally occurring uranium and radium. I don't think they would be so concerned as to doctor reports and hide stuff and sweep it under the carpet if it was all naturally occurring.
No.
That's not going to be anyone's fault. That's just dealing with the actual conditions. I'm pretty sure that's going to relate to some industrial activities, right. Probably fracking among it.
Man, I'll tell you, this fracking thing, it is, I agree with you 100%. The cost does not make room for the benefit in my mind. Especially, I mean, we all want clean energy and energy independence and to pay cheap gas and stuff like that. But if you can't survive or grow food or get healthy water, you know, what's left at that point? We're just fighting for the wrong thing.
But it's being branded as a patriotic thing. And now with the election cycle coming around, I've been getting emails telling me I'm personally a horrible person for calling out Rand Paul because I'm going to get Jeb Bush elected. And what am I secretly working for Jeb Bush? No, Rand Paul has been secretly endorsing fracking and working with the Bush campaigners from Karl Rove on up the scale. Okay. No one's asking me for my policies on what to do with the country. Not that I would really know everything to do, but we are excluded from this whole process. The elections are a perception. It's perception management for public relations.
Absolutely.
It's just a cost. They have to put out $1 billion. You say the election, the election already cost $1 billion with Romney and Obama, just so all the corporate sponsors could put their NASCAR logo on their two suits, you know.
Right.
It's a buy-in. It's a big party. But it's ultimately a public relations stunt to give us little people the perception that we still have some control and choice over this country. And aren't there consequences for these 8 years of Obama and his socialized medicine? Well, yeah, there are, but we didn't have any choice in that.
Right.
It's a collectivist system run by corporations. The rise in food stamps, I would remind you, is not for the benefit of people who can't afford to meet their living standards. It wasn't lobbied for by groups of hoarded masses who got wiped out in 2008 or who weren't working before that. It was lobbied for by the Wall Street corporations, by Walmart,
yes,
and by the big food industries, because they each get a piece, a very predictable, dependable piece from every tax dollar spent on food stamps swiped with an EBT card. It is run each and every transaction through J.P. Morgan.
Oh, I didn't know that. I knew Walmart had, I think, something like 42% of their profit comes from EBT cards. I mean, it's
staggering. Walmart gets the biggest chunk of that money, but every transaction goes directly from the Federal Reserve through J.P. Morgan Chase and then to the EBT cards that are administered through the various states and other entities.
Wow. Oh, and then so we've got Obama on television the other night with probably the most amazing list of freebies I've ever heard in my entire life. I don't know if you got to watch it, but I
got engaged that night. I skipped the speech.
Oh man, you missed it. He even winked.
Right.
He even winked at the camera. I mean, that's how bold and arrogant he was. Okay, well, if you missed it, then you probably didn't get an opportunity to really focus on all of the wonderful things that we've got coming should we continue to vote Democrat. So I'm just a little concerned.
Well, so tell me about it.
Well, I wish I had my list of all the highlights, but he was very challenging to the Congress. He threw down the gauntlet on minimum wage. Of course, he talked about the free, community college initiative that he wants to go, you know, free community college for everybody. That was a big selling point. He lambasted, Congress about their stalling on the Keystone Pipeline and instead said, why are we stopping at a pipeline? Why don't we do this big, multi-billion-dollar infrastructure plan, which I can kind of get behind that. So that's kind of a good deal. He wants to do paid sick leave for everybody. He was actually talking about paid maternity leave, just all kinds of stuff that there's no way in hell the Republicans are going to let pass, essentially, is what it was.
Lovely,
it was an hour.
Right?
You know, but at the same time, one of the things that I thought was really interesting was that, you know, he probably saw the poll that came out earlier in the week. Al Jazeera did a really good poll talking about what American people are the most concerned about right now, and they pointed out that terrorism was like 1% of the concern. The most concerning thing for people, American voters right now, is the economy, joblessness, you know, lack of the ability to, you know, lack of worth in the dollar and things like that. So he suggested that the most important change we could make to the economy would be to pay for kids to go to school pre-kindergarten. That's the biggest problem
is with Obamacare. Of course, medical health care and education should be among our best priorities, but it's all wasted time. How many years did I waste in the education system learning things that don't matter?
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.